This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You can watch us on NBC Sports Washington as well. And we're presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, you can visit EMP180.com and get empowered. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, the head coach of the Washington Wizards, who's presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialist in personal injury law. And a week ago, we talked to you, Coach, and it was right before the trade deadline. And
Something was up.
What was going to happen, but
we knew it.
You said a couple things where it was like, you know what?
He
they are changing their plans.
Be honest, Coach.
You're cryptic.
Be honest, Coach. You knew that the talks were going on and that you were probably. Did it happen later that day when we had him on, or the next
day? Maybe the next day.
I think it happened the next day.
He was walking around the streets of Milwaukee, and we asked him, and he tried to say, we're just focused on Giannis.
Yeah. No, you do.
Did you know the deals were already made when we asked you that? Honestly.
No, I did not know. We didn't know. I didn't know until the next day. I think it was the next day.
Right. Oh, yeah. But did you know that they were talking anyway?
Well, I knew we were talking with a few different teams.
Right. That makes sense. Just,
but, you know, how many times teams talk and yeah. never happen? A majority of the time it happens that way. But, you know, it happened. You know, we wish Otto well. We got some good players. We got Bobby is really high.
I like motor. Him, man.
Yeah, I like him. All three of them have been real good for us. I mean, we've only had him for a week now and three games, but all of them has really stepped up and played well.
But, Coach Brooks, how weird is it for you personally when you find out during warm-ups? I believe Otto was shooting around during warm-ups when it was finalized, and then obviously he's not going to play in the game because, you have to deal him at that point to Chicago.
Well, that was pretty tough because we go over our game plan, our film session at 40 minutes on the clock, and Ernie called me with about 43 minutes on the clock. So I had to jump off the phone with him and grab Otto before we meet with the team. And that was definitely awkward, but Otto handled it like a pro, and I was very obviously honest. I just said, hey, you know, there's some talks right now. We cannot let you play in the game tonight. We have to send you back to the hotel, and he handled it well. Like I knew Otto would. That guy he's a pro's pro, and said it many times, he's no maintenance at all. He wants to go out there and you know, be a good teammate.
You know, Coach, when you got these guys, like everybody knows, I mean, if you're a basketball fan, you know Jabari, and I always loved Wes Matthews. But I didn't know a lot.
Wes Johnson.
I didn't know a lot about Portis, to be honest with you. And when I first saw him play, I was like, wow, this guy's pretty incredible. And then I couldn't believe he's 6'11". The way he moves and everything he can do. I mean, I know it's a testament to how the league is. But, man, what a package.
And he's young. I think he just turned 24 a couple of days ago. And his IQ was pretty high. And he knows how to – it's just interesting how he moves around for his size and shoots threes and he dribbles the ball and he rebounds. He's a really good player and he has a good upside. He's going to keep working. I mean, yesterday's practice, it was basically we get a lot of shooting, but they wanted to go some 3-on-3 and he participated in it. And Jabari did. And, you know, it was good to see. And, you know, they're hungry and they want to play well. They want to finish the season strong. So that was a good sight to see yesterday.
The other thing I like about him, and I don't know, I'm sure you see it from all the guys at times, but Portis wears his emotions on his sleeve. In a lot of ways, the way John does. I mean, that guy's a gamer. I could see why he punched a teammate in the face. And sometimes you need that. You know what I mean?
Just hope he doesn't punch the coach in the face.
You need that intent. I love that.
That's why I call him Mr. Portis, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Now, he is intense. You can see it in his look. I don't know if he's ever smiled since he You know, he's just, he wants to just go out there and compete. I like that. I like guys that want to go out there and compete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we need, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then it also, you know, then you go to Detroit, and for whatever reason, Coach, and we talked about it, and I don't even know if you have an answer for it. You guys just don't play well on the road.
Get smoked on the road.
I mean, you just get pummeled on the road. And it's just it's frustrating, you know? I don't know what you can do.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely tough. We've got another tough one tonight in Toronto. Not having Thomas Satoransky didn't help. You know, he gives us the stability and some veteran leadership on the floor. And, you know, he's going to be out again tonight. So, but that's no excuse. We gotta figure out how to win on the road, and we got a bunch of road games coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Joined by Wizards coach Scott Brooks, presented by Greenberg and Betterment, specialist in personal injury law. While we're on the topic of the Pistons game, the Bradley Beal play, travel or no travel, Coach? Be honest. I know the NBA ref said it was not a travel.
He took six steps.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a travel, but I think, I mean, it's traveling must be hard to call nowadays. But I see it a lot, and it's, I mean, it's referees. I mean, it's unfortunately we signaled that. I mean, we point that one out. They might have had, you know, 99 great calls, and I thought it was travel, but, you know, I guess it wasn't.
You're just happy it wasn't called. Hey, I want to kind of switch gears and ask you a couple league questions. Michael Jordan weighed in on some of these streaks, and I want to get your take. James Harden now has gone for over 30 points in 30 straight games. Russell Westbrook, 10 straight triple-doubles. Which do you think is tougher to accomplish of those two?
Oh, my gosh. I think the triple-double, just because, I mean, it's you have to rely on your teammates making shots.
Yeah.
And then you have to rely on, I mean, them missing shots for you to get the rebounds. I mean, it's for him, I mean, it's kind of, it's interesting. It's Oscar has done it, you know, Oscar Robertson did it, you know, 50, 60 years ago, and Russell's on pace to do it for three straight seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I mean, the guy is, his motor, his energy every night is just, it's just incredible. And he's going to go down as, you know, probably one of the top point guards statistically, definitely one of the top point guards ever to play the game.
Mm-hmm. Now, you coach both of those guys. And be honest, because I watched the end of the Rockets game the other day, right? So Harden gets his 30th straight game with 30 points. But with about 2 minutes left, they had about a 10-point lead, and he had 21 points. And he jacked up some threes, and to his credit, he nailed them, and he got over that 30-point plateau. But when you coach those guys, how many times are they going for stats at the end of games where guys let Russ get his 10th rebound, for example?
We never talked about that when I was coaching them, but they were so young. They just played hard.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know if they even knew about those things, because it wasn't even in there. In their thought process, they just wanted to compete. They were just so aggressive and so hungry to get to play every possession. And it was great having those three guys, because they were all at the same age and they all wanted to fight and play hard, and they wanted to win. And it was a good thing about coaching those three guys.
Who would go at it at practice the most? I got to imagine, like, Harden and Durant, that offensive display, not taking anything away from Russell Westbrook, but the way that those guys shoot.
That was actually when we were able to practice with all this. I mean, we practiced long and every day back then. It was good to see. And there's many times I had to call off the scrimmages because it got so heated and so aggressive, and they wanted more, more, more. They were 20, 21 years old, and they can go for days. And it was, I mean, I tried to split the teams up equally and as competitive, and it was very competitive, but it was fun. It was great. It was a great time to coach those three guys.
Coach, we've had so many discussions about this team, especially this year. All right. And Cakes and I are arguing with JP and Eric, and, you know, we're arguing with listeners, and all the fans and all the listeners agree. It sucks to be in purgatory where you don't make the playoffs, but you're not in the top three, right? You're drafting 13 or 12, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's clear that you guys you weren't going to go into that tank mode because you kept Bradley and you acquired a couple pretty good players. But you're down three games to that eighth spot. I mean, three games with, you know, 25 to play is not easy to make up.
No.
So, but how do you feel? I mean, how do you feel about this current team? It's tough when you add a couple, two, three players to the mix, but do you feel like you can make a run? You got to win like 7 out of 10, though, to really make up some ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely we have to do that. I feel good about the group. I feel good about the effort they're going to continue to give and the progress we can make. It's going to be a fun run. That's the way I look at it. That's what I'm explaining to the team. We got like 25 games to go, and we gotta enjoy this journey together and make sure we put our best foot forward every night. And who knows? We can make this run, and who knows what happens in the playoffs. You can't get to the second round unless you get to the first round. And so,
right.
You know, it's going to be a great opportunity for us. And we got young guys, and this is also a time for us to evaluate all of them and the guys that we have, because we have some flexibility going into this summer. And so hopefully we do a lot of good things this next 25 games, and we can make some good decisions this summer.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to Otto, but I mean, without question, right? It's unanimous. The team's better now than it was a week ago, right? Without question.
Well, Otto was good. You know, he's a little solid player. He gave you anywhere from 12 to 14 points every night. He didn't shoot the ball as well as he's going to shoot, or he is. You know, he's a great shooter. That's been picking up the last month that he was with us. But we got two really good players. I mean, they both, I don't even know, I think they both averaged like 14 points a game.
Right.
And they're young. I mean, 23 and 24, and they both got big upsides. And, you know, we're excited about having them. Hopefully, we can see what they do and how their habits are in practice. And so far, it's been terrific. I mean, Jabari has played his first two games really good. He struggled last game. Maybe it was the 3 and 4 nights because he hasn't played a lot of minutes. Even when he came back the last 3 or 4 weeks in Chicago, he was only playing like 15 to 16, 17 minutes. So, but he's played well. Give him credit. He does a lot of good things. And you know what I like about him? He passes the ball.
He's a big passer.
A lot of guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been a lot of guys that were highly recruited or high draft picks. They come in, they want to show that they can score the ball, and they're, you know, sometimes a lot of times they're selfish. But he's making plays for his teammates.
No, there's no question. In fact, even at one point, I kind of caution the guys. I say he almost forces some passes in there. He looks to dish so much. But the other thing, the other thing that jumped out at me, Coach, was, you know, even with the two knee surgeries, whatever. That guy's still explosive. Now, he looks doughy to me still, but he's still explosive. And people are saying, well, he can't play defense. Well, okay, that's an issue, but it's not for a lack of athleticism.
No, you know, it was a Chicago game. I think he had 6 dunks.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever being on a team, anybody that had 6 dunks.
Well, that was like an all-star game. Nobody was playing D that day, Coach.
Yeah, I think Giannis had 6 dunks against you guys.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That was, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Really nice.
Hey, just trying to lighten it up.
Yeah, he travels 6 of them also. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, he does like to take 4 steps, no doubt.
That's definitely true.
No, you know what? He's athletic, and he can – I mean, he's powerful. So I think he has an interesting game that I'm looking forward to seeing how far we can take it. But I like his work ethic. He came in yesterday and worked his butt off. And you know what? His shot is not broke. He's not a great 3-point shooter, but his mid-range game is pretty good.
Right.
All right, Coach. Best of luck tonight against Toronto. They added Gasol to the mix. So a stronger team got even stronger with Mark Gasol. It's Coach Brooks, presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialist in personal injury law. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Coach.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Okay, buddy.
Good week.
Yeah, you too, bud.
Hit that over.
Wouldn't you guys agree that with 25 games to go, to make up 3 games, especially when you have 2 teams in between you, you pretty much have to win 65 to 70% of your games.
Yeah, they need to get to 40 wins. You can have a losing record and get into the playoffs in the Eastern Conference,
so
but you need to get to 40
wins. So that's 16-9.
That's what I would project.
It's a tough spot.
Yeah.
But they're better. He wouldn't flat out say it. They're better now than they were a week ago.
I think so.
Without question.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number. Remember, a little later, Phil Savage is going to join us. He's the GM of the Arizona Hotshots. We will talk about the AAF, which garnered some great ratings on opening weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We open up the show talking about Maryland's big win against Purdue. I went to the game yesterday. I had a great time. We'll talk further about it with Chris Nockey, who, of course, covers the Terps, calls the games. He's going to join us coming up at 8:40.
Love C. Nock. Real quick, I've just been going back and forth on the zip line, talking about the tipping story with Matt Kuchar and the caddy. You know, and he's talking about how Howard Stern always talks about how he tips everyone because he doesn't want to be called out. And
yeah.
And how much, you know, if you had the same money that Matt Kuchar had, you know, you'd be a great tipper. I would certainly be a better tipper than I am.
Certainly would think. I will say it's always easier to spend other people's money than it is your own. But you would think
true,
you would tip
true,
better.
True. But then a guy said, you know, I've been a bartender for years and I always over tip because, you know, I was a bartender and I appreciated tips. And he tips mailmen and trash guys around Christmas.
We do that.
You do? And I told him, I was like, I kind of slept on tipping the mail guys and the trash men for a year. I just don't think about it. But what I do for the trash guys in particular is, you know, we get a lot of, you're going to Joan.
You give them your gristle. What gristle
you're
going to
Joan. You know, we get a lot of golf shirts and golf pullovers.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
Through, just
that's your way
the years,
of tipping.
You know, the Puma gear and, you know, we Nike gear.
So you give them a used shirt?
And stuff that I don't wear anymore. I'll fold it up nice and I'll put it on top of the trash can.
Do they take it?
Oh, they take it. Yeah. Every time, I actually will watch them take it, and I want to see what their reaction is.
Yeah,
and they you feel like Santa Claus.
And one time, the two guys were salty because they both wanted it.
Right.
Oh, they were fighting over it?
They were arguing in the middle of the cul-de-sac about which one would get it. I swear to God. So, I don't actually, I mean, I'm sure they'd like cash.
Meanwhile, it's like his 7-year-old Greg Norman shirt.
Yeah, right.
Well, they're not always that old, but
but I get it. We get a lot of nice shirts, and they might wear it once, and then 4 years later, you haven't worn it.
Right.
But it's still a nice shirt. I'll give it to one of my brothers. They'll be sized.
Yeah, I pass them down now to Jess's nephew, and I'll see some of the shirts.
But I don't feel like
Sup Dogs.
I mean, I gave a nice Puma
but
track jacket.
You're kind of like cooching him a little bit because you're like,
I know, I knew
he's
you were
a trash
Joan.
Man, and he'll ride like my used shirt.
That might be the new terminology
like
now.
You'd
rather
him.
Like the $20 bill.
Yeah. You'd rather like 20 or 50 or whatever.
Don't cooch people.
Yeah, but doesn't the Puma track jacket go further than the $20 bill?
I think so.
Problem is it just stems from your cheapness. Because you're trying to avoid giving them cash.
I opened myself up to the possible joaning.
Yeah.
Yes, you knew it was coming.
But I thought that
you're re-gifting.
It's better than nothing. Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
Most don't give the trash man anything.
Correct.
It
depends on your neighborhood if it's like a standard thing or not.
I don't give our mailman anything now because we have one of those boxes that has like 15 mail slots.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
It doesn't seem like I have a personal relationship with the mailman.
I've kind of hosed the mailman over the years.
Well, our mail guy, I told you, Ryan, he didn't do our route anymore because everybody was dying.
Right.
So it was too stressful for him. But I love Ron. Ron was aggressive about it. Come like November, he'd start asking if I was saving up for the Christmas tip yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now it sounds like he wanted an aggressive tip.
Oh, he was planting the seed early, months in advance.
Well, I've received before. I remember
you had no choice.
I remember the back when you had like an actual newspaper delivery person.
Yeah.
Sometimes you would get an envelope.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. That's
and
standard.
I think I've seen that in the mail slot.
That's
before.
Pretty standard.
I think I still get that
for paper delivery.
And those guys, they literally just drive by and throw it out the window of their car.
Right.
It's hardly in their guys in like their 50s. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think there are paper boys in that kid.
No, that's from a bygone era.
It's from our era.
Right. Yes.
We're the last of the paper boys.
Last of the Mohicans.
We really are the last.
But if you missed it, by the way, Matt Kuchar won $1.3 million, had a club caddy, gave him apparently $5,000, and then offered a $15,000 bonus.
After public backlash.
The club caddy
$5,000
felt offended and said no to the extra $15,000.
I would have taken it, by the way.
The standard for a tour caddy would be 10%, which would be $130,000. He just wanted $50,000.
He wanted like
4%.
He wanted, you know.
Right.
And it's just a bad look for Cooch because it makes it seem like Jason. Well, I'll just give the trash man my golf shirt. He'll be
happy with it.
I'll give him my table scraps.
Yeah. But what I'd say there
Jason
is,
also does that with movers.
What I'd
don't
say
you
there
do that
is,
with movers?
He could give them nothing maybe. Because most people give nothing. So these guys are getting something. I don't think they expect money from
And by the way, I've done it multiple times. It's not like I just do it at Christmas. I'll do it 3, 4, 5 times a year.
Oh, really?
Right.
So
right.
they're getting some
But you're
some
also
nice stuff.
Doing it, I know you.
Now, I don't know if a trash man wants to wear an Oakley golf shirt.
Right.
I mean, does he think he's Bubba Watson?
Yeah, I don't know.
But he might
But
like
you're
it.
Also doing it, I know you, like anybody, you're doing it because you want it out of your house and your closet, too.
Well, it saves the time of driving to like,
right.
Goodwill or
right.
and it does, local church for a
donation. Write that off on your taxes. When you give it to the trash man.
There is a part of you, though, that does feel like you're doing something good. Kind of like when you threw the burger at the cabbie.
That was years ago. Why do you always bring that up?
Because by the way, does so Goodwill ever fill out the scripts?
Never.
Oh my God. What?
No, you, that's left to you to hopefully be honest.
The Goodwill simply gives you a receipt with a little signature.
Yeah,
that's it.
You fill it out yourself. Yeah. You can say I brought
Honor
50
system.
Bags of clothing.
Right. Yeah. You could slip. Bill Clinton it. Didn't Bill Clinton put in there like 100 pair of underwear?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I usually don't. My wife wants me anytime I go to like get like headphones or something. We can expense that, or you know, we can put it on the thing. And she always wants the receipts. I'm like, they're $20 headphones. What's that going to do?
I don't
she
think gets, you can expense much anymore.
Well, maybe it's different
we'll
this
find
year.
Out
but
this yeah, I don't
year.
Know.
For rest of my for all of my previous yes. years, you know, she always wants my expenses. And, you know, they're very little. It doesn't add up to anything. It seems like a waste.
Oh, I give my guy as many expenses as I can think of.
It just seems trivial to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to miss it.
It all adds up.
I give him mileage. I give him expenses. I give him everything.
Yeah.
That's the way
mileage
I look at it.
To and from appearances.
Well, definitely agent fees, which I don't think we can declare anymore.
Sadly, I don't think we can.
That's
put
a lot.
Yeah.
I get so bitter.
Probably shouldn't be able to declare agent fees. Why would we?
I texted our agent yesterday. No response. Happy. He probably won't hear from him for 4 years now.
Yeah, he did our deal. He's on to
oh,
the next one.
You're going to hear from him on the 20th of every month.
Right.
Okay, that's when you're going to hear from him.
Hmm.
When you see that deduction from your account.
All right, boys. Let's get into the world of Hollywood and entertainment. Got some stories here for you. Going to entertain you, Cakes. And this first one is a doozy.
Let me guess, Jeff Bezos story in the mix.
Ooh, I haven't seen one.
No?
I haven't seen one here yet from
Valdez. There's not a Bezos story in Valdez's entertainment page?
By the way, I took a picture after the show of three of the guys huddled around the computer. It was, yeah. I think it was Valdez, Drab, and EB.
I had to show them the old video.
I just wrote, caption this, and a lot of people nailed it.
Yeah. By the way, did you guys go home and did you want to give a full review of the video?
Well, yeah, you found the video after the show that we talked about yesterday in the 6
a.m. By the
hour.
Way, I found it.
And it was just as hurting as you build it.
Did I describe it perfectly?
Pretty much nailed it.
I used my own hotspot, so I didn't use intercom Wi-Fi.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't believe the old guy.
Did I tell you he's like 1 foot out of the coffin?
Yeah.
Eric. So disgusting.
He's a fibber. The title of the porno was something like "Girl with Not Grandfather," and then Eric couldn't believe that it was an incest video at the end.
Hold on, you think I was looking at the title? I didn't look at the title. I just clicked
on
the thumbnail.
Most people look at the title.
I just clicked on the thumbnail.
Yes, but
see what they're getting into.
We watched it here in studio.
That might not have been where I got it from. You know, I'm sure that video is on a billion sites. Yeah.
Different
yeah.
tube sites.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I had a private showing at home yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think about the private show?
The private showing was a little weird because I was thinking about you a lot during it. And I was like, this is too weird. I got to find a different video. So,
but hey, did I not describe it perfectly, though, at the end when they brought the sheet out? And
It was like a comedy sketch.
And yeah.
All right, what about Eskimo Tube? That tube is much better.
Anyway, if you want
you
to
actually
check
put
out
a picture of everybody watching it on my computer yesterday?
Yeah, I just wrote caption this and a lot. I mean, I could go through some of the captions. They're all over it.
Yeah.
Our old producer, Jason Veazey. Quote, Ed Powers is money, I tell you. Here's one from BMore2SouthFL. That old dude has a sneaky Pete, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Damn, that old guy's really giving it to that chick. I mean, they're all over it.
You should have seen the grin.
You should have seen my smile.
Yeah, I mean, Valdez.
Patrick tweets us, yay, look, the new casting couch. I mean, you're just simply looking at it.
And then what Eric was doing, he was telling me about, like, all of these TV shows he's into.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a freak.
I told you.
I mean,
I'll tell you off air.
Regular TV shows?
No.
Sure.
Playboy
yeah,
TV.
Yeah, regular for him.
Playboy TV.
You're embarrassed about the TV shows, but you'll give a scene-by-scene breakdown of the porno you watch.
I told Eric I have access to the Playboy channel.
You should see this guy.
And Playboy, too.
I haven't seen it, but I can only imagine this the guy. Access that
I have. I have eight porno channels.
This
I
guy's
can
like Larry
from.
Flint. Yeah. He's got every channel you could possibly think of.
He's a bigger pirate than Barry Bonds.
I want you to know. Can you out yourself?
What?
And tell people all of the adult content that you have access to. Go ahead.
All right. And by the way, this is on TV, too.
On TV. This is not
like a computer.
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
All right. So I have.
These are the channels he pays for.
Yeah. I have the Hustler channel.
I can't imagine that.
That's awful.
That's very explicit.
Yeah.
I think Hustler, that's where I had never heard the term, but whenever we started hearing.
Be careful.
I'm not going to use the first part, but when we started hearing about showering, right?
Was it from Hustler? It could have been.
I feel like it was.
Could have been.
Then I have the Brazzers Network.
Right.
All right.
Which is filth.
Brazzers!
It's 24/7 at your house?
24/7.
Go ahead.
And then I have Vivid TV.
Right, an oldie but goodie.
Well, they do, like, sometimes they do sex tape marathons on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like home videos?
See, your size.
Yeah.
And then Playboy 1. And then Playboy 2.
Playboy, there were two.
Playboy 2, those are the worst, because all they do is they show, like, girls, like, washing cars. Right. And then they have, like,
they're trying to tell
NBC,
you on
NBC
Playboy
Sports
2.
Washington type show, that they, radio show that they show
they
all
do?
The time.
Yeah.
And then after that is, Penthouse.
Yes, Penthouse and Hustler TV.
Hey.
And two Playboys.
And then there's Adult 6, Adult 7, and Adult 8. And what they do is they rotate, like websites and everything every month.
And these, by the way, are not things that are like pay-per-view that you have to order. These are all live.
Correct, live and everything.
Yeah, and any 24 hours a day.
You typically would have to pay monthly fees for those channels. But channels.
But yeah, you have to pay a monthly fee.
Right.
Yeah, sure you do. By the way, I retweeted the picture from yesterday, the creepy picture. You can go to @JunksRadio. It's EB, Valdez,
is there a big,
and
is there,
Drab.
Is there a big smile?
Around EB's computer.
Thankfully,
just
I dodged
the picture.
It was that yesterday.
Although Case's head was peering over
I got a private showing. I saw about 30 seconds of the video. That was enough.
Well, I thought it was gross. I couldn't watch more than 10 seconds.
Yeah, actually, all the guys looked. Jason.
I was out.
Jason just shook his head. He was definitely curious. Cakes. More curious than Jason, but not that much.
Not by a lot.
Not by much. Drabby and Valdez wouldn't leave.
Well, yesterday when I told Eric about all the
channels,
it was the first time he's ever been jealous of me.
I'm not sure it was jealous. I told you, I don't. It's a good zing.
Envious, definitely.
And the problem with all your TV viewing is you're at the mercy of what they're showing. Now
I kind of like that.
Yeah, the surprise.
He's got a lot of channels to change.
But he has a lot of channels.
It's like your old school bit where you close your eyes and put a tape in, and then boom, it's on the scene. That's basically what I'm doing in 2019.
Exactly. Do you watch with your wife?
No.
I asked him that. He said, no. He said, that's his. You know,
that's
his
for me.
Yeah, that's his special
time.
That's
for private time.
You'd be butt-sized if you came home and she was watching.
That's impossible.
Oh, physically
impossible.
It would never happen, right? I mean, what do you think the chances are that would happen?
1%.
Yeah, right. I'm going to put it at 0. Most girls just not wired that way. Just not going to happen.
I have it password protected.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, there's a number pin lock.
Password
can't get to
is crayons.
All right, EP, you're gonna have to do the EP.
Did you say Kinlock or Pinlock?
Pinlock.
You're gonna have to do the EP in the 9
I'm
o'clock.
More into
Why? What do we have next?
We've got Chris Nockey.
Oh,
so we will talk about.
All right, well, hold on.
Maryland.
Okay, we're gonna do Nockey next. But when we come back, I got an incredible after Nockey or whenever we do it.
9 a.m.
An incredible Jessica Simpson story that you're not gonna want to miss.
You've done like 5 Jessica Simpson stories
in the last month,
and every
guess.
Time
she gained another
heavy.
10 pounds last time.
It has to do with the poor thing gaining so much weight. Okay. It is funny.
It's always a weight story.
Yeah.
All right, Chris Nockey's going to join us next. We'll talk about Maryland's big win against Purdue last night. Next on the Junkies.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Big win for the Terps last night against Purdue. And join us right now to talk about it from the voices of the Maryland Terrapins. It's Chris Knocke.
Christopher.
What's up, boys?
Hey, what's up, C-Knock?
How are you?
JP was at the game last night, and we watched it. It seemed like there was a lot of energy in that building last night. It seemed like almost a tournament feel.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, kind of a frustrated energy in the first half. The Terps appear to be a little bit tight, and, you know, they do have a lot of young guys, and it took them a little while to find their stride. Also, Jason, you know, this time of the year, I don't think you ever want to play a game like that when you've been off for 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've found a certain rhythm to the season, and nobody wants to practice, you know, 5 consecutive days either. At this time of the year. So I thought they appeared a little bit, rusty is not the right word, but just a little out of sync to start the game.
Yeah, it looked like Purdue was doubling Bruno and even Smith early in the game, and it didn't look like Maryland handled it very well.
Well, and that doesn't make any sense either because now we see it all the time. Bruno gets so much attention. But, yeah, I you know, they had opportunities around the basket. They missed easy open three-point looks. You know, it's a beautiful thing when shots are going in and when they're not going in. And Maryland got, I think Jalen Smith, JP, had 5 shots in the first 90 seconds of the game.
Yes.
And a bunch of them were open looks. He just couldn't get them to go down. And, I think he struggles a little bit with nerves to start the games. It takes him a while to find a stride.
I was shocked by, you know, it was two totally different games. You know, first half, Purdue handled the Terps and that big three at the end by Klein to push them to 8. But the second half, 40-18, you probably know this, Purdue was 6-for-36 from the floor in the second half, which is shocking to me.
Shocking, and especially when you consider they've got one of the, you know, preeminent scorers in college basketball, Carson Edwards, who never saw a shot he didn't take or wouldn't take and didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're a talented offensive team. You know, one of the reasons why it's such a good win, it's a Big Ten win against a team that's above you in the standings, is that, you know, Purdue came in on a heater. They were as hot as anybody's in the country, and one of the reasons for that is because they had been scoring so easily. So when you hold a team like that to 18 points in the second half, obviously you've done some things well, and that's with a really sort of a below par rebounding effort from Maryland. You know, Maryland has just dominated everybody on the backboards, and there were stretches of the game where they just couldn't seem to get a defensive rebound. So they still were able to survive because the defense they played.
You know, it's a big win for a lot of reasons. You know, I think sometimes we just assume when teams get off to a good start like Maryland, well, they're good. They're ready. They're good for the tournament. But, you know, we've seen swoons here in the conference play, you know, in the last 10 games in the last few years. That's happened. So just to lock up each one of these wins is crucial, especially when you got three ranked games coming up, right? In your next 6, you play Michigan twice. We all know Turge's record on the road. Can you explain that? What is that? Against ranked opponents. What is that?
Can I explain it?
yeah, what is
I
that?
I mean, it's tough, man. These are pretty difficult environments. AB, I got to tell you, playing on the road in the Big Ten, and I'm not saying it's easy.
But
it's cool. One of the cool things about the Big Ten as opposed to the ACC, and I know there are a lot of folks that romanticize our time in the ACC, but you know, when we would go to play Clemson on a Tuesday night or Florida State mm-hmm. on a Thursday night at 9, there was never anybody in the building. Yet when we go to play at Lincoln or mm-hmm. in Champaign or Madison, these are events in these towns, and they pack the place. Penn State's really the only place that doesn't get anybody, you know, coming to the game. So the environment's pretty difficult, and you know, and obviously that number has to change, and nobody's working harder to do that than Turge is.
I'm sure.
Uh, Yeah, but back to the win. You know, I mean, you still got they're five freshmen in the rotation for Maryland, a couple of sophomores as well. They've gotten dramatically better. If for anybody who saw the first game against Purdue, they're light years away from where they were in December. And you know, the arc of the season is one that you have to appreciate right now.
Well, and then getting back to that, is Maryland like the second youngest team in the country or fifth youngest team?
Second
youngest team. And somebody asked me about the game before, you know, on like Monday. They said, "Who do you like in the game?" I mean, Purdue's won eight straight. I said, "Yeah, but you know what? If I'm Purdue and I've won eight straight, obviously they're on a roll, but I do not want to go to Maryland. You know, it's basically, you know, it's like a national TV type of game, type of feel. That environment always gets you. I mean, it's tough to go to Maryland and win. They've only lost one there, and that was UVA, and that was pretty tight. I just never feel comfortable, especially if you're the favorite. I never feel comfortable taking a team, especially if they are the favorite, going into College Park. It's just a tough place to play.
I'll tell you another thing that sort of factors into that, too, and I know you probably didn't look into this, but Purdue, you know, because of the unbalanced schedules now where you don't play home and home anymore like we, you know, you used to do when the leagues were smaller, mm-hmm. you know, that every year somebody's got a real favorable schedule for themselves. And it's the computer. It's not a conspiracy. It just happens like that sometimes. And Purdue plays nobody after that game last night. They have a real cupcake kind of schedule, and good for them. I'm not hating. I'm just saying that's just the way it worked out. And so psychologically, I think Purdue's guys know going in there that, you know, we can give one away here. And I'm not saying they gave one away. I'm just saying that psychologically, you don't come in with the edge that you need to do it, because you've got a handful of games looking at you here over the next couple of weeks. Many of them are at home there at Purdue, where they're very difficult to play. So I just think that I'm not a better, and I would never give anybody advice. Mm-hmm. I just really felt like the Terps were going to play really well in that game last night.
If I told you this team was going to be, considering you knew how young they were going to be, if I told you this team after 25 games were going to be 19-6, what would your reaction be? I know the out-of-conference schedule wasn't daunting, but considering
that. Well, I think what I like even better is the 10-4. I think, you know, 10-4 in the Big Ten. Now, that to me, because the Big Ten has proven itself to be, you know, they don't have necessarily a Duke in the league, you know, or even a Tennessee level team maybe, but they've got a lot of depth at the top, and to be 10-4 in this situation is, you know, it's fantastic. It's a real testament to the way these guys have grown together.
Mm-hmm. Chris, does last night's win silence some of the people that are anti-Turgeon and say, well, he's a great recruiter but not a great X's and O's type of coach? That's a quality win at home against a top 15 opponent.
I hope so, Cakes. You know, I mean, I will never claim to be objective about Mark Turgeon. I work with him. I like him personally. You know, I think that sometimes when you watch somebody like this, you know, day in, day out, I think it's easy to find flaws. It's like, you know, it's like when somebody remodels your home, you watch it up close and personal over 3 or 4 months, and you notice the imperfections because you're so close to it. And I think sometimes, you know, as fans, we do that. But I mean, he represents, he does a nice job with his guys. The players absolutely would die for him. And so, you know, I mean, he does a lot of things really, really well. I hope it does, but I just think that in this day and age, I think that unless you're Mother Teresa or Mike Krzyzewski, you're in a boatload of trouble, man. It's hard to live up to the bar that some people hold for you.
Mm-hmm. All right, just kind of on a national scale real quick, how much have you watched Duke? How much of you – did you see the Duke UVA games?
Yeah.
And then how much of the, you know, the other three or four top teams, the Tennessees, the Gonzagas, Kentucky, how do you really like these teams? Do you have a couple in mind that you think are certainly
Final Four favorites? So last night, and Matt was, before I got on, Matt and I were talking about that Duke-Louisville game last night. And on my way home last night, I picked up the Louisville broadcast on XM. And people always tell me that they can tell whether Maryland is winning or losing by the tone of Johnny Holiday's voice.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you could sort of hear the air going out of the balloon play by play from the Louisville broadcast. And then I saw the last 2.5 minutes at home. And that's a fold at home that will come. That is a that is such a painful thing to endure. Mm-hmm. Duke is just so physically, athletically gifted. If they're making shots even a little bit, I mean, I just think that they're a prohibitive favorite against the rest of the field. But you only have to beat them once. And, you know, they're 31% from three for the year. So, you know, you get to March. Somebody's going to have a pretty good run out of Tennessee's bunch of grown men. Very good basketball team. I keep thinking that Michigan from our league, from the Big Ten, you know, they were playing as well as anybody in November. They haven't really gotten back to that yet. But
Bad loss last night. You can't lose to Penn State. I'm sorry.
Yeah. There's no question. And Penn State's played everybody tough, but you're not supposed to lose that game for sure. And John Beilein's, you know, one of the probably top five coaches in the country right now. He'll get him back. And they're still, I think they've got three losses, all in the Big Ten.
Right.
They've got nothing to apologize for. So, you know, it's a great time of year. We're sort of ramping up right now, and March looms. So it's, you know, it's really cool to see some of these games. And all of them, a lot of drama and all these things.
Hey, quick question for you. So Dez Wells was at the game yesterday and got a great reception from the Maryland crowd.
He's
a guy who hasn't made it in the NBA. And meanwhile, Kevin Huerter comes out. And I'll be honest, I'm a little bit surprised at how successful he's been. Talk about kind of those two players' paths and what you saw in college. And why isn't Dez Wells, you know, in the NBA? Just simply don't have a shot?
Yeah, Dez is kind of a 6'4", 3 man, you know, just not, you know, there's that line, and it's actually a delta. It's a pretty big gap between being a really, really good college basketball player and being an NBA player. It's just, it's kind of a different game, different sport. And Huerter has that one skill that NBA teams die for. First of all, he's 6'7". He's a legit 6'7". He's young. He could be 6'8", 6'9" when it's all said and done. But he's got a range out to 30 feet. Mm-hmm. And in this day and age of the spread them and shoot it NBA, I mean, he's invaluable. And I think that if you redrafted last year based on what you know now, he'd go a hell of a lot higher than 19.
Right.
I think the people, you know, in the NBA, the perception was early in the season, he's just not ready. And now he fits like a glove, especially with, you know, like I said, with the style of play in the NBA. So it's just they're different players, and one is much more suited to today's NBA.
Yeah, it's weird because I would say Dez was a better college player.
Oh, no question. And also, you know, he'll go down in Maryland lore, just tough as nails. When there were four or five guys who jumped ship and bailed that one year, Dez was very vocal about, you know, I don't care about those guys leaving. We're going to be good. And that was when Melo came in, and he and Dez sort of force of personality. Yeah, I think they won 28 games the next year.
Mm-hmm. All right, Coach.
Thanks for being available on short notice, buddy.
All right, boys. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Thank you, buddy.
Chris Nockey, voice of the Maryland Terrapins. Coming up in the next hour, Phil Savage is going to join us. We're going to talk AAF. He's the GM of the Arizona Hotshots.
Uh-oh.
Of course, there was a great debut by the Alliance of American Football this past weekend. We'll see what happens in weekend number two.
Did we ever get ratings, by the way, for those second games? Did they ever come? They never came out.
No, I just saw from the Saturday night where it had about 3.2 million viewers.
I just want to know the second day. Yeah.
Second day was on...
They were on the NFL Network and CBS.
So maybe half. I don't know.
Yeah. But you promised us some good stories on the entertainment page.
Jessica Simpson's a great one. Has to do with her eating, which always makes us laugh. And there's actually a shocking Kevin Spacey story. Shocking. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.